Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Breaking the gray.
Sarah, how are you?
Good, thank you, Russ.
Good. We're like season four, episode, 14, 15, somewhere in there. And we finally got our equipment down. Like, I have a new camera. I have a microphone that actually works. I mean, nothing like 100 episodes in to finally get down to being professional.
Yeah, you probably totally jinxed that now and everything's going to pack up.
Yeah. We'll definitely have our technical issue that we have on every episode. It's due. So, Sarah, let's introduce our guest today so we can get right into it. But it's great to see you.
Yeah, let's do that. I'm super excited that we've got Jean Vallaracara, and I'm famous for saying names wrong, but we already know that we can call Jean, Jean, dude, bro, and you're going to go with dude. I'm going to go with Jean. But anyway, I'm really excited to have you on, Jean, because I mean, there's so many things we can talk about. I mean, you're an entrepreneur, you know about fitness. You're an author. You have a podcast. There's so many things, a book. But we're talking to you about and we've met at some of these biohacking events, and so you know, I know you've got a huge breadth of knowledge on all of the different biohacking topics too. But we want to talk to you a bit about longevity. So maybe let's just have a little bit of your background and kind of how you got here, and then and then maybe you can kind of give us some longevity tips.
Because all right, I'll do my best. Thanks for having me on your podcast. It's a thrill for me to be here. So, Sarah, much love. So to introduce myself, I'm an entrepreneur. That's for sure. That's probably my main line of conduct, if I would say, always trying to strive into innovation and trying to create some things. Like I'm a true believer that if you don't create, innovate, you're just going to disappear. And it was one of my key motto for years, and it's still. Innovation is about everything. It's about knowledge, and you're a scientist, you know exactly what I mean by that. And everything that you create must be contradicted and questioned. So I've been creating 11 businesses, merger acquisition, recently sold my business 2 years ago to a public company. I'm tied up as their managing director in the life science segment these days. But I still run the magazine, Biohackers Magazine. I'm proud of it. I acquired that magazine 3 years ago, maybe a bit more than that, 3.5 years ago. And we have big plans for that as well, to get it in the metaverse in a way or the others.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I'm a fan of AI. I went back to the MIT last year to learn more about AI, VR, extended reality, because I think it's part of the future. But my background in terms of study, part of my background, I'm an engineer in biotech. I studied neuroscience after all. I went to genetics as well, and biochemistry, so many things. I just cannot keep doing anything else than learning. I don't watch TV, so I learn. This is how I get busy. And I'm trying to keep myself occupied enough to understand how our brain and our body works, but mainly with a goal, because, you know, we don't do these things for nothing. We always try to do everything we do on purpose. So my goal is, yeah, live up to minimum 150, I would say. I would say fully autonomous 150, a bit rested up to 75.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. I mean, it's interesting that you say AI, because I am not a techie. I have no engineering. I have no physics, which is a total handicap for me in a lot of realms, and it's something I have to work on. And, you know, I try and keep up with the metaverse, but, you know, I wasn't really...
That's a big, yeah.
But now this whole AI thing is totally... I mean, I'm on that ChatGPT thing. I'm on it like 2 hours a day because it is just so interesting, and I'm listening to all the podcasts. And I'm also trying to think, how can I get ahead of this a little bit, you know, because I am a generation. How can I get ahead and integrate these learnings?
Yeah, integrate, I agree that you can do that, get ahead of. I don't think that we can, because artificial intelligence is fairly powerful. So it has the power to think, not to think, but to connect dots faster than we can. We have a big advantage. We're human. We have a neural pathway that allows us to have emotion and drink or have fun with friends. AI will never have that. But on the other side, AI will definitely change the way that our world is set today. It will definitely help us improve longevity at large, of course. And I believe that you are right to try to cope with it, because we definitely need to use it, not reject it. I'm using AI on a daily basis. I'm using actually artificial intelligence assistant. And despite I'm working on flow state, you know, I work like 90 minutes by batches because our brain cannot cope with more than 90 minutes. Focus span. So I work three times a day, 90 minutes, when my flow is at its summum. But in those 90 minutes over the past years, running big businesses with 205 employees and things like that, I've been productive enough. But with AI now, I'm even more productive. I can do even more. But I'm getting my ADHD triggered, and it becomes like overwhelming. But yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting because one, I think we need to work out how we're going to use it, you know, and two, how are we going to maintain our humanity and cope with it? I went to this guy did a really interesting lecture I went to the other day, and he was on about psychedelics. And he was kind of advocating that psychedelics are a way to get you to connect with nature and kind of connect with your humanity and connect with what it's like to be alive and living, so that we can almost draw on that resource when, you know, the next round of AI comes, because a lot of the jobs that we're kind of used to doing are probably going to be, you know, AI.
The copywriters will be gone. Some video editing will be gone as well, because more and more we're getting our finger into like editing, but in the human way. Yesterday, Zook just released a new tool that is quite interesting, that interprets imaging and stuff like that. So probably that job will be gone as well, but new job will be created. And I think that if you are an artist, your creativity will just explode, because you have like an open world of material and ideas and things like that. I love life. I love people. And I think our world is beautiful, even with AI. And it's like, I'm so thrilled to what is coming up in the future. And look at the topic of your podcast, like longevity. Imagine now that because of the metaverse, you're going to have access in one fingertip to every single publication worldwide, accessible when you are looking for information, how to improve your life, how to improve your health, what to do in such situation that you struggle with, these are going to be like just available there. You don't have to search PubMed. You don't have to remember before we had to search from paper where Archie's.
I actually miss those days when I used to get the bus to London. But I have to, what I'm interested in is, imagine all those experiments, Gene, that failed and that didn't get out in the public domain. Because, I mean, I used to work as in a drug company, and I used to work as a research scientist looking at electrostatics. But, you know, 9 times out of 10, your research doesn't work. And so, you know, you shelve it, and then you publish what you did. But imagine when the AI, if they let it, you know, as long as it's been recorded well, trawls through all of that failed experiments, because it must be 10 times as many as the ones that are actually reported. And all that information that's in there that's going to be mined, I really think that in the next few, there's going to be so many amazing scientific discoveries about biology, because there's so much lost in data that's not reported, because it's not relevant for that particular, you know, result that you want.
And there's also a quite a lot of bias in, especially in bio, yeah, that, you know, it's male driven, and there's so many opportunities for it to remove the bias and to have fairness in the research as well. And what didn't get funded doesn't necessarily mean that it's not important. And I think that in the important part is that there are a lot of failed experiments that never got funding beyond their failure. But we all know that if you don't fail, then you're never going to get to the next stage of your experiment either. So I do hope it removes the bias. And I think that that's one of the fundamental flaws, is that it's still, the AI today still holds its bias because it's pulling data from humanity, and humanity is fundamentally biased because of our systems. But over time, AI will start creating its own content, and that content will have removed its bias. And all of a sudden, now you're going to get fairness in the AI, which will be interesting, especially as we, a podcast that's focused on really on female health. Most of our listeners are female. I'm just here to be the lab rat for Sarah. And to try these experiments out. But if we think about female health and we think about longevity, there are a lot of things that we just don't know because they're not getting funded. And I'm hopeful that we can start getting some of that bias out of the AI on our research.
You know what? I'm confident we will, because I look at all this new development, and they're very recent. Like, we're talking about the past months, not even years, in cancer research, in diagnostic, in all these domain where you had to go through a long process of investigation, research, analysis, discussion. All these now, in a couple of seconds, I would say, are done. And you go to a diagnostic of some underlined illness that they were not even seen by certain doctors or even panel of experts. We're going to get there. So this is beautiful. We're helping humanity with that. This is the beauty of it. And we're helping, like, true, women are always being like discriminated, I would say, and in many aspects of life. So even in that side, it's going to be all positive.
I work in tech as a, that's my profession. And there is a fear, a great fear. I was a marketer. Like, there's a lot of jobs that are going to be lost, and there's fear, but there's also, you know, we've heard the same thing across all of technologies, that, you know, that the CD was going to eventually put the vinyl out. I mean, it's not a great comparison, but there's something very positive about AI. And it's,
when you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Mail checks, invoices, documents, and everything you need to keep your business running. Get rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS. And with the mobile app, you can take care of mailing on the go. Make the same no-brainer decisions as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up at stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid: high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals, and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/prenatal.
Not spending time doing the things that you're doing so you can move on and do some of those other things. And that's probably going back to getting outside, getting in touch with nature, not sitting on your computer researching. I don't know how many hours I've spent researching a name for one of my scripts, but like now I can have help on the things that I don't necessarily need to be spending my time on, so I can actually get outside, exercise, see the sun, ground myself in the soil of the land where I live. I mean, I think that somewhere and somehow we have to allow ourselves to disconnect. And so I'm hoping AI will remind us that humans will only live longer if you disconnect from me and my technology. Turn it off. I don't know. I'm preaching to a violator of all the things that I'm saying here, because I never say disconnected, but you know, it's important.
That's exactly the point. You know, here's the thing. I believe that now, because of the work of many, and Huberman is probably one of the guy out there doing a great job informing people about basics, going outside, grounding, seeing the sunlight in the morning, do a bit of meditation, cold plunges, cold whatever. Okay, all these tricks that all biohackers have been using for decades are now more accessible. But at the end of the day, I believe that longevity is a factor of two combinations. Sleep, you need that. And as you said, disconnection from those screen and things like that. And to get to the second, okay, the first can be manageable, but to get to the second, we need to educate people. To educate people on the way they work, we need to change the way that our world has been set. We need to change the way that our society, after the economical revolution or industrial revolution, to be more precise, has been set. Those 40 hours a week are BS. Having people sitting behind a desk for 8 hours, procrastinating most of the time, or looking at their Instagram, Facebook, and other pages, but not doing anything related to productivity, change that. Teach them how to work on flow state, how to be efficient, productive, and release them from the chain of this crazy American society dictating for the rest of the world, I would say, like corporate America. You need to be there at 9, you need to leave at 5. This is BS. And if people would learn that simple principle, they would be more efficient, they would have more time to go outside, they would sleep better, and they would live longer, and they would be able to pay for the pension of the people that are getting older, because instead of stopping working at 65 in Europe, 60 other country, never in America, if you work as a normal worker, you would be able to keep going with your passion. And if you put your job as the top priority where you have to accomplish your purpose, then you're going to keep going with your passion, still make money and pay for others that are getting olders and olders. And it's not a struggle. We are all afraid about having our society getting older, but it's just because we're totally disorganized.
What is your interpretation? What is your flow state? How would you define that, Gene?
Okay, so you know these moments where you sit in front of your computer and suddenly you go on one task and you cope with it and you execute everything that was supposed to be executed and you go even further than that. And then you turn or you lift up your head and you go like, holy smoke. I've been on this thing for an hour or an hour and a half, because after that, it's difficult. Your brain just disconnects by itself. And I've done that much. So this is a learning process. You need to know your peak. You need to know your body temperature. You need to exercise to have your brain ready for that. You need to have your mind not bothered by, you know, all these small buggers, email coming up one after the other, phone ringing. So when you go and work on flow state, my emails are down, my phone is off, and my task is here. I set up my list of to-do thing, and it's not like 10 or 11 or 12 or 15 or whatever. There's so many rules out there. Set 3 thing for one day. Just if you can make one completely as the way it is, it's supposed to be, it's already a good thing. Having like a list of 10 tasks and going from one, oh no, oh, and at the end of the day, just keep your task for tomorrow, keep your task for the day after. This is not working.
I will say that I understand the flow state and I've been in it. I have a terrible time, and you're going to probably say I'm stating this wrong. I have a terrible time managing it and getting it to operate for me. Like I don't like my tendency is to beat myself up that I'm not getting enough done to get me into the flow state. And I'm staring at my computer being like, I need to write, I've got to get this paper done. But it's like, how do you get yourself into the flow state? I can get, when I'm in it, I am in it and I am crushing. But to get there is a freaking, like I would like cut myself if I had to get, but because I don't know, like I beat myself up to get there, but there's got to be a better way.
Yeah, well, actually, you have to learn about your body and your brain a lot. You have to understand yourself. You know, like as a biohacker at the beginning, I was wearing those biosensors and Oura Ring and all these things. Today, I have nothing. I just know my body perfectly. I know my brain. I know my state of mind. I know if ever something is going wrong in my blood flow or whatever. But to be on flow state, you don't have to force yourself. And I'm preaching and I'm with you. You know, ADHD is something that I struggle my whole life. Yeah. Yeah. But terribly until the time I've seen that, okay, I set up a routine in the morning and don't get me wrong. Every morning is not the same routine, because otherwise you get so used to it that you end up by procrastinating at the same level.
You have to like, yeah, you have to trick yourself. You have to like, yeah. With ADHD, you have to like trick yourself. Like, well, I'm getting sick of that routine. Yeah, it sucks, but keep going.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I wake up in the morning, I drink water, I stretch, I look at the sun, I go for a walk. And some days I would work out at 7 up to 8:30 or 8 up to 9:30. Some other days I would work out at 11:30 or at 12, or never too late in the afternoon. But it will really depend on how my sleep was, how my dinner the day before was as well, if I did intermittent fasting that day or not, many factors. But feeling your body, you know that, okay, you're ready to go for a workout. You come back, your brain is like, okay, flushed, I would say. Then take some time to just memorize what you've done on your workout and take some time to do a bit of meditation. And I'm not asking you to sit still for 2 hours. I'm asking you to do it for 10 minutes. It's enough. It's way enough. But those 10 minutes are crucial with the proper breathing techniques are crucial to put you in the states where, okay, you know that you're getting ready for work, but you don't know that if you're already in that stage where you can be on flow state. So you prepare yourself. What's my mission today? What's my goal today? What I'm going to achieve? And suddenly and slowly, it comes up to your mind and boom, you're there. Make sure that nothing bothers you when you get close to that stage. As I said, email has to be off, phone has to be off, and focus on the task. Achieve it, make it happen. You're going to be super productive. And you know, I'm criticized in the position I am now for this public company. Some people said like, well, you do podcasts, you run a magazine, you have a media production company, you're not focused. Damn it. You know what? I can be 10 times more focused than all these guys combined together. And I can achieve way more than all these guys doing meetings for nothing one after the other.
And you know, John, there is something about ADHD that I've never been diagnosed, but I absolutely know I have it because I just can't stay focused. But when I'm focused, it's amazing. I think it's actually a gift. And I think knowing how to steer it and mold it into the way you do it. And you mentioned you have a magazine, you run a series of gyms, you have an entire separate career and media, but that's filling all those hours where you're probably going to be procrastinating anyway. I feel the same way. If I'm not filling those hours with something productive, I find myself, I do the opposite. I will become incredibly lazy and do the things that aren't healthy for me. But the productivity thing is also those that aren't as productive can't judge themselves against those that are. And I think that there's something to be said around, like, we have a society where we're comparing ourselves constantly. I live in America, so this is an entire American society thing. But by comparing yourself to the Gary V's or those that are like, you know, Joe Rogan, that have all these, you know, empires of things,
yeah,
all of a sudden you're like, I can't even get started. You're paralyzed by getting started. So how do you help someone who doesn't understand that to just get started, to know how to be productive, who's stuck? And I have four children. I will not name names of my children, but I have a child that gets stuck and gets paralyzed. And it's fear-based, based on our last episode with Claudia Garbett. Like, that fear then gets them stuck and they can't be productive. But when they are productive, they're so proud of themselves. And I think, like,
ADHD 100%,
yeah, how do you beat that, John? Because there's so many people that I think get paralyzed by the mountain of things in front of them that they can't get started on the small stuff to get into the flow state.
Well, you actually answer your question yourself, because you said, like, people are paralyzed by seeing the mountain of thing to be done in front of them. This is it. This is the point. Instead of looking at a mountain, categorize that into sub chapters and sub chapters and pick one. Just pick one. Otherwise, your brain will be overwhelmed. And you know what? I'm not perfect either, because some days I can be like, oh, I have to do that. But then, oh, I have that and that and that and that. And these are the days that are terrible, because your brain is all over the place. You start some things and then you jump on the other things. You don't remember what you were doing and you don't remember that. But it brings you back, because the phone just rang, or an email came in, and bam, bam, bam. And you've done nothing during the day. You don't feel accomplished enough, fulfilled. You don't sleep very well. And it's just postponed to tomorrow. So how'd you start? Start by picking one. And it's not necessarily the most important, because otherwise it's a struggle to find what is the most important thing to do today. It's not that. Is choose one that you feel comfortable with. It's going to guide you on how to get into that stage. And when you are, when you're done with that one that you felt, oh, wow, that was cool, then you can pick another one, big or difficult. Oh, and then you build up step by step by step, as everything in life.
I imagine it's very similar to getting back in shape, getting my body back into physical shape, that it's the mountain of, I'm so overweight, I'm so exhausted, I threw my back out. I have hives today for some reason. I don't know what's going on with my body, but I think it's just, it's taking the first little step and not feeling like that first step has to be go run 10 miles and then I'm going to go break my ankle, but going to run a mile. Like, and Sarah's been talking a lot about how she's been getting out and just doing a mile and a half walk, and that all of a sudden it unlocks her to go do more, right? And
yeah.
Well, I do average of 6 miles a day walking. I started doing a run because I do all my meetings or I do my podcast listening on foot.
When you walk.
So my average, got it, because I am still using this Oura Ring, which is interesting that you're saying
it's fantastic.
You're using your intuition, because that is something that I've been trying to plug into. Because also sometimes I'm really surprised by what my Oura Ring tells me, and that shouldn't be the case. Like it will say, you know, oh, your heart rate variability is like on the floor today. And I have to think, wow, what have I done? And I've just started weight training.
استمع إلى بودكاست رام قوتك من قلبك برعاية رام على تطبيق أبل بودكاست، سبوتيفاي أو أي منصة صوتية أخرى. في هذه الرحلة نكتشف مع بعض خلال شهر رمضان الكريم شلون نكون بقمة عطائنا المعنوي، الفكري والإنساني، ونستمد من هذا الشهر الكريم مصدر قوتنا الداخلية والخارجية.
When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
And I thought that the weight training would get me fitter and get me up. But what I'm actually discovering is that the heart rate variability is tanking. And it's probably because it's a new exercise.
You unbalance your body that way. But you're in the learning phase then, because you started something new that is disrupting your habits. And of course, your body need to adapt to that. And the response on it is variable, like your HRE.
Yeah, you kind of learn then, okay, because I'm doing something new and I'm lifting weights and, you know, and I'm learning how to, you know, I didn't even know, you know, you have a special technique that, you know, I go to the gym. But
yeah, don't get overwhelmed with that, because as you said, Russ, it's like, it's overwhelming to like you start, yeah. You go to that gym. There's funny memes on these guys, like my first day at the gym, and you see things like incredible, but it is a bit true.
Brand new Lululemon pants. Yeah. I look great. I look the part, but to that point, and to that point, the getting started thing is that you make a lot of excuses to not get started. And one of them is when I hear Sarah say, I'm running 6 miles, I'm doing this. And like, it just freaks me out. I'm like, shit, I can't keep up with Sarah, you know? And like, but that's just my nature of comparing myself versus what you said earlier, which is so important in meditation. It allows you to ground yourself and to be present. And when you're present, you're not sitting there comparing yourself or thinking about other people. You're thinking about who you are and what you're doing and how you feel. And maybe it's just how you, I struggle with the starting part, and I've been having a lot of discussions with one of my children around the getting started part after this one child just finished college. Now, how does that child, he'll know who he is when I say he, get started on getting the job. He's overwhelmed. He's staring at it. So it's like, break it up into small, get a successful small thing, like send out a resume today, call somebody today.
And you know what? And above everything we said, start to put your mindset in the positive way, because like you said, like you compare, I'm not going to keep up with Sarah, but there's always someone or somebody out there that you're not going to keep up with intellectually, physically, morally, whatever, and who cares? Maybe it's arrogance what I'm going to say now, but I'm at the top of the world, and that's probably why I don't compare myself with others. I don't care about that. I think that I love everybody, I respect everybody, and for me, I just look at myself as myself, and my goal is like, let's be better today, just a bit, like before, a segment more. I moved to Miami for a reason. My company got acquired 2 years ago. I was in Boston, from Montreal to Boston. Montreal is a cold city. I go to Boston, it's a cold city, humid. And in my daily life, I need to go outside in the morning when I wake up and see the sun. I went outside in Boston and I was freezing because it was windy. And I called the company and I said, guys, I'm so sorry, I'm going to Miami. And they go like, oh, no. You can. And I go like, yeah, I can. And you know why I did that? To remove the buggers of my life. What are the buggers? Is the fact that I'm questioning myself in the morning, what type of weather is going to be today? What kind of clothes I'm going to put? What shall I do if it rains here? I'm not questioning about these things. They're just removed. I'm just like, I'm going to be myself. I'm going to be better tonight. I'm going to be even better than I was yesterday. And I'm already at the top of the world. So I'm going to be at the topper of the top of the world. And it can be perceived that as like arrogant or whatsoever. And I'm not arrogant at all. I'm the opposite of that. But I'm confident. That's the difference.
Have you always had that, Gino? Is that something that you've had to develop over the years? Or is it something that you've always had, that confidence?
Well, that's a fantastic question, Sarah, because here's a secret for you. When I was a kid, I was too sensitive. So, and it was written in every single school report. You talk to me, you tell me something just with a tone, and I cry. This is me up to the age of 14. Impossible to cope with anything. And I was just like, I was a small guy, very tiny. And I don't know if I was bullied or not, but I don't care. Maybe I erased that from my memory, but I know that I was crying all the time and I was very, very sensitive. But at the age of 17, I was a punk. Completely the opposite. And I was going into fighting streets and I was performing in kickboxing and Thai boxing, Muay Thai, became vice champion of France, and the opposite of that. And I wanted to be in the army, to be under a structure that was so rigid that would teach me how to cope with these things. And then I didn't go, of course. I didn't go to the army. I was in France at that time. But no, it's something that I built it up myself by forcing myself to be challenged. And I think that today, people are not willing to challenge themselves. They are in their comfortable life. They come back after work. They sit on the couch. They have a glass of wine, a beer, or whatsoever, put the TV on. And not for me. I don't have TV, as I said, but not for me. I rarely am going to sit on a couch. And even when I work at my desk, I'm standing up. It's like you have to push yourself beyond those like comfortable point you are, except when you need to recoup and recover. Those are crucial moments after a workout. I take some time to sit in front of the ocean and look at the water, being inspired by the noise and the sun and the waves and the wind and everything. But it's just to recoup. Meditation has the same effect. After a certain work, I need some, I can, like some days I would stay 2 hours outside, no music, no words, nothing, just being myself, centering, recentering on myself and having my thought going all over the place. And you just let them go as they are. And it can last 30 minutes to up to 2 hours. And I don't get bored. For someone that had ADHD, that's a record.
Yeah.
It sounds like it's habitual. You know, it's like anything, isn't it? It's like a muscle. If you use it enough, then it becomes effortless. You know, it's like seeing all these guys at the gym. You know, they can, you know, they're doing all these things with kettlebells because they've got the habit of doing it. And it's the same with what you're saying, you know, for anything.
It's neuron pathways that you create. Like you've seen my post on my Instagram. I do handstand planche and all these things, but it didn't come naturally. One day I went to the gym. I do an handstand or a planche. It's sessions and sessions of struggle and learning and focusing and putting your mind into it, because most of the time things that we are not devoted enough to the task that we decide to do. Like, you want to go to the gym, but you're not putting the devotion into it, dedication. You want to learn a new language, or you want to learn about AI, but you're not putting enough effort. I think that when you decide to do something in life, you need to put the 100% capacity that you have, focus on that, get it done, and then choose another one. And you're going to grow into that. And I think this is the secret of longevity, because you're going to be challenged your whole life to be better. So you don't see the time going. And I'm getting older. And some, when I look at the mirror, I'm always convinced that I'm in the 20. Some woman in the street will remind me, if I turn the head, they're like, hey, you look weird. But thank you for saying this. Yes.
Yeah. You look great. You look great.
This is it. Yeah.
Jean, there's something you mentioned early in our conversation around creativity and actually making time to create. And AI might replace those things. I'm not fearful that it's going, I mean, it might make jobs different, but there's still room to create, and human stories are human stories. And I think painting, how do you approach that, and what do you do in terms of creativity to kind of feed that, and why is it important? It's three questions in one, sorry.
Yeah, creativity keeps us alive. That's the beauty. You know, I'm a fanatic of art. I'm an art collector for 25 years, and the utmost expression of the brain for creativity is probably art, because you cannot describe it. You just find it beautiful, and it's a music. When you close your eyes, you still remember the paintings that you've seen, and this is like sound for me, even if you cannot transpose images to sound. So you have to train your brain for creativity. And instead of doing things that are segmented, like a routine, for example, we're talking about routine. If you have a strict routine, there is no room for creativity. So you have to break down those things. Like, once in a while, like we say, get wild. Put yourself in a situation where you can open your mind and just don't think about someone judging you, as you can be stupid, ridiculous, or whatever. Just be, and then execute it. And this is creativity. I think that without the creativity, our world would just like suck. All these guys, yeah, even Elon is one of the best creative thinker in the world. He ask him about AI. He doesn't shit about it. Ask him about electrical engines or battery operated things. He doesn't know anything about it, but he sees these things. He imagine these things. We forget to use our brain like we were kids before. And this is the thing. Our society, or the pressure from our society, you have to be an adult, you have to be responsible, you have to do that, you have to be on time, you have to show up, blah, 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 blah. Bullshit, 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 bullshit. This is not true. Keep your mindset as a kid and play, dance, sing, whatever, but this is creative thinking.
Yeah, I think I've just started to think like that because I'm trying to learn a bit about quantum biology because a lot of the biohacking stuff, I'm into light, and of course it's a quantum phenomenon. But to understand, well, obviously no one understands it, but to even kind of get a perspective on it, you have to imagine all this crazy stuff because you can't see it. And so I've started like trying to draw it out to at least try and get my head around, you know, all of these very abstract concepts. But I do feel like, you know, there's all these like, you know, very serious quantum physicists, and then there's me here with my scribblings. But to try and get that imaginative part of life and to actually segment time in your day to do it too, because, you know, it's kind of a guilty pleasure that I'm sitting doing all these squiggles because I feel like it's not real work, but really, yes,
yeah,
I think that's,
yeah. You know, here's the thing. Einstein said when he came to this quantum theories, he said, like, our brain as human is not even made to understand it because we're not structured, organized in our brain to understand the concept of it. But this is big. So when this guy from France got the Nobel Prize last year on the quantum entanglement, you know what I've done? I went back to all studies from Einstein from 1936 and up, and I went through all the process of his pattern of thinking and reviewed all this document, and I was just lost in this ocean of information to come up to the conclusion at the end of trying to learn all these things that I still don't know. I still don't get it, but I do understand some things that, yeah, it's all linked. And quantum has a big power for the future. Like we are all part of the same matter. The energy, the frequencies, the vibration, call them as you want, because they're all related actually to a point. And some are putting quantum in everything, even in pills, quantum pills. That's like ridiculous. But anyway, there's some things behind it. There's some things fantastic. And if you just follow your gut feeling, for example, you're in the street, you walk and somebody cross your path and you're just like, huh, you felt great. This is like how to explain quantum. Some will pass close to you and you're just like, oh, I had a bad feeling. This is it. This is it. This is energy.
Yeah, to kind of cultivate that creative side or that intuitive side, because that's kind of what you're saying there. That's kind of like you're not only going by creating neural pathways, but you're actually going by your feelings if you're in tune enough. Because you're right, our brain, you know, it's very difficult to understand something that's kind of bigger than our own brains in a way. So we can only kind of get an indication of it. But this whole thing about kind of intuition, we did have another guest recently who was talking about, you know, health from a point of view of really developing that intuition. And that is something I've been trying to work on because, yeah, we can get carried away with all these metrics and we can get carried away with the theories.
Because you're a scientist.
I've also, like, you spent, yeah. I mean, I probably haven't spent the amount of time on Einstein's paper, but I spent a long time recently just trying to work out what light is, you know, that just that one question kind of.
Oh, yeah,
you
know, well, that's the thing.
3 years and I'm still not that much further in with it.
Yeah.
But to kind of have that ability to sort of say, okay, I kind of get a feel of what it might be.
Yeah. I think it's like, you know, this is it. I felt invested by this mission of creating the future. Like, for example, I know that AI, VR has big place to take in our world of tomorrow. So when I have free time, I think how to integrate that into the different aspect of my businesses and my activities. So for the company I work with today at Intest, I've imagined that all the technical assistance from every product in a lab or in biomedical facilities will have access to the metaverse where you can get 24-hour, 365 days a year technical assistance and access to documentation, publication, and stuff like that. This is going to be a revolution because most of the time, researchers are frustrated because they cannot get a hold of the manufacturer when they have a problem with the a unit, and I wanted to solve that problem. I spoke about it in Seattle last week, and people were just like, holy smoke, we love it. We would love to do that. So I feel that I'm on a good track for that. On the other hand, I looked at the magazine, Biohackers magazine, and I go like, damn, you know what? Paper publication is kind of the old-fashioned way. Okay, sending them through internet or whatever. Yeah, it's cool, but it's not. What if every single article of a magazine would put you in an immersive environment where you choose the color, you choose the music, but you experiment the topic of the article? Like, for example, an article on meditation. Choose the pattern, choose the place you want to go, and then be guided to the place in a virtual world where you practice meditation, you learn about meditation. This is how I see the magazine in the future. And this is virtual reality.
It's like the holodeck where you go and you actually experience.
Exactly.
No, I get it. And maybe if somebody else creates it, like I'm sure other people have got different views on, you know, all of this quantum biology, you can go into somebody else's world and you might get a totally different perspective. That would be super cool because we're kind of a little bit trapped in our own heads right now. Or even meditation. I kid myself that my meditation is my morning walk because I do it mindfully, but I do have an issue with like sitting down and doing meditation. I can manage, you know, like 5 minutes some days, every time I say I do need to do it more than I don't do it. But maybe, you know, if you had somebody else's idea, they could say, here's a meditation environment. Yeah. You could be like, oh, this is what
get they inspired. Need. Yeah. Get like attracted by something that is, yeah, different than what you are and then learn about it. Yeah. Like we said before.
It's kind of what art is. It's someone taking you into their own way of experiencing life, but you're doing it in an immersive environment.
At least, you know, this is the beauty of this future because you're cutting down the risk of many aspects of things that you would like to do. I've been a skydiver my whole life. I stopped like when I had my kid, but people would love to experiment skydiving, but they're not ready for it. So at least you can be trained to try it, to get the impression of it. And then maybe you will come to the conclusion, no, it's not for me, but yes, it is for me. And it will open up your mind to new horizon. And this is it. This is how you trigger creativity. It's opening up your mind to new horizon that leads you to, oh, I didn't think about this. I didn't see that way. Now I can have a different perspective. This is creativity. Simple.
Yeah. And your brain, presumably your brain, you know, because we know the brain is, you know, it's wiring and it's kind of, you know, even if you think about something, you can have a physical effect, you know.
Yeah. Or the same, it doesn't know the difference, or your brain doesn't absolutely not know the difference between the reality and your thought. This is the dangerous part of it.
Yeah, that's the dangerous part with all the, you know, with all these kids on these horrible shoot up games and things. Yeah. But yes, you're, but, yeah, from the other side, you could really experience skydiving or swimming with sharks or whatever it is you want to do, but you can't do all the biohacking. You know, there's so much of the biohacking stuff. You know, there's so much you could really go on and have all those immersive experiences. Yes, do it, Jean. Yeah, let's go. Magazine into that because then we'll sign up. We'll be the first one.
Yeah,
awesome. I can think of loads of things. I can think of loads of things that would be really cool to experience.
Virtually. Yeah, and even, you know, learning about how to improve your life to live longer. If you explain people, if you immerse them in, for example, what is impact of an overdose of alcohol in your body, and you put them in a virtual world where everything is explained with the internal vision of what is happening to your body, lungs, heart, veins, and blood flow and everything, you explain them as you would explain that to a kid, the impact of these things and you teach them how to improve or how not to do it too often. And then if you have biohacking techniques to implement, same aspect, you can explain them deeply, okay, this is what is going to happen to your body if you walk every morning or if you take a cold shower. Because today you tell people, oh, you should take a cold shower in the morning. People are just, what? Why I would do that?
Yeah, or sit in a nice tub. Yeah, for sure.
Gene, we're coming to a close here, and I want to make sure we have all of your information that everyone can listen to your podcast, get your books, sign up for your programs. What's the best way for people to find you, and where can they find you?
I think that my website, jeanfadakara.com, leads you to Cyborg Gains on Instagram, which is my favorite platform. I share a lot of insights on optimization, health optimization, mindset optimization, and exercise. But it's probably there. Then No Plan B podcast is the name of my podcast. You guys have to join now and be my guest. So other than that, I'm involved in so many things, but just like, you know, you can check or you cannot check. I'm here. And if you want to find me, you find me.
Well, I will give a quick tip. I see that everything's on jeanfalacara.com. So JeanFalacara.com. Is that right? Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
Correct. There's
amazing stuff on there, and I'm going to take you up on the offer of getting myself onto a meal plan and an exercise plan, because I'm still failing at it, and it's okay.
Yeah.
But I'm still not
Why is that? You know? Have you thought about it? Why do you fail?
I don't know. Exercise has really been a thing for me. I don't know why I can't get started and I keep stopping. I threw my back out, which I think was just another excuse to not exercise again.
Yeah. Probably you say like, oh, my knees or my back or my thing. And then, oh, I'm tired. Not today because I had too much work. Instead of trying to have a workout for an hour, why don't you just try to have 5 minutes every day? Just like wake up in the morning when you stretch, you drink your water, do 10 squats. Just 10 squats a day, even 5 squats a day. Just that. Start with that. You're going to start with that, then you're going to do push-ups. And I bet you're going to do way more in a month from now. It's because don't go for a 1 hour workout and don't even trust those trainers and coaches that are telling you you're going to lose this much weight in these days. This is impossible. It starts from calorie in, calorie out.
Yeah. And finding something that I enjoy doing, like Sarah, the way you describe your walking and your working out is listening to the podcast. And it's the same here. I just have to do it and get started and go and break it up into something really small, because the mountain is big.
Yeah. 2 miles walking has way more benefit than 45 minute weightlifting and things like that. Or, of course, high interval training is one of the best, but it requires so much energy. But start by instead of taking your car to go to the corner shop, just walk.
Okay. All right.
Tomorrow, change your path, because your brain is going to be stuck if you always take the same way, same path.
It will. Awesome. Well, thank you so much. This is a fantastic episode, and
thank you.
I can't wait for our listeners to hear
everything. Yeah, it's really inspiring just to hear you, Gene. So, you know, I'm sure just even that, you know.
I'm going
to
walk.
I'm already looking over there at my laptop. I think I will finish that drawing.
Yeah.
So, yes, thank you so much. It's lovely to see you, guys. I hope to see you soon at one of these events.
Absolutely. I think that you guys are coming to Orlando for
this.
Okay, I'll be there. Yeah.
Brilliant. Looking forward to
it. Me too. Thank you so much, guys. It was awesome.
Thank you for listening to the Rebel Scientist podcast. If you know someone who would benefit from the topics in this episode, share it with them. Feel free to DM us on all social media channels or email us at sarah@rebelscientist.com. We read and reply to all messages. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. And if you're listening on a channel that allows reviews such as iTunes, please leave us a fantastic review. We value your support. It all helps. All opinions of our guests are their own opinions and do not necessarily reflect their views of Sarah Turner or Russ Eisenman. This is not medical advice. If you have a health problem, please seek a medical professional. The Rebel Scientist Podcast is a Breaking the Gray production, hosted by Sarah Turner and Russ Eisenman. Audio production by Dave Visaya and the podcast engineers. For more information and for our biohacking shopping guide, visit rebelscientist.com. To hear more incredible Breaking the Gray production podcasts, visit breakingthegray.com. That's gray with an E, breakingthegray.com.
Breaking the Gray. With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.